It's a little bit after 4 o'clock here on KDNK. You are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour talk show we do here with the folks from the Soper Sun and participants and stories, and we're gonna give you some news. I'm Will, editor of the Sun. With me in the studio is Megan Tackett, our fearless reporter.
Hello, hello.
John Colson, our board member and former fearless reporter.
Hello again.
And Sue Gray, former board member and this week columnist, as well as, is it treasurer of the Historical Society?
Secretary.
Oh, secretary. Okay. So we all wear many hats in this town, and Sue is proof of that. So we have quite a bit to chat about today. I guess we can start you out with a couple of pieces of breaking news. One just fresh in on the interwebs, Wilderness Workshops, Sloan Shoemaker is stepping down after 21 years in that position. And Will Rausch, who's a longtime member over there, is taking his place. So we'll be exploring that in maybe next week's issue or soon. Also, I don't know, also not in the paper this week, the pot plants that were left around town in the planters. That's been kind of the talk of the town and of our Facebook page for the last 24 hours. But you will not find that in this issue of the Soper Sun. That is the nature of a weekly. We get by with that. What you will find in this issue is our annual report, which is kind of our chance to toot our own horn, which is why we've got one of the reasons we've got John in. We always like having John in. It's a chance for us to kind of let you know what's going on with the paper. We've broken down a lot of what we covered in 2017. Those numbers, by the way, do not include Pages of the Past, Scuttlebutt, those kind of things. We're talking real life stories or cover photos or, you know, features like that that we're pretty proud of. We're proud of the number of times we covered local history or, people from the, you know, locals doing interesting things. That's 190 times in 52 weeks that we pulled that off. I think it really showcases what the Soper Sun does well. So if we're going to toot our own horn, that's the kind of thing I like tooting. We also have, a breakdown of our budget and how things come together and how we're supported. So, John, you were kind of involved in putting this report together. What was interesting or maybe even new to you in that process?
Well, I liked learning that our budget has now, for 2 years in a row, crested the $250,000 mark.
That's pretty cool.
Which is remarkable for a small organization like this, and it shows that we're growing. We are being helped by a growing percentage of contributions. The budget in 2017 called for advertising as 89% of what we brought in, and donations were 11%. This year, advertising covered 84% and donations covered 16%. So that's a good sign for something that is such a devotedly community-supported newspaper. Mm-hmm. And we thank you all for that. And don't ever think that because you gave once, you don't have to give again.
So, yeah, thanks, John. We're sort of we're not going to talk about ourselves too much in the on another radio or on the radio here, and we appreciate Kate and Kay giving us this time. There is also a column from board member and board treasurer Barbara Dills on page 2. So, if you're looking for the pitch, it's certainly there. If you're just looking for information on who we are and what we do, that's on pages 6 and 7. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm in charge of putting this paper together.
Right? You do have it memorized and knew it.
Right. Moving on, Sue, since you're here in the studio with us, tell us a little bit. You were not a hunter, and you took your grandfather's shotgun, which had not been used, right, and took a course began a quintessentially Western Colorado experience. Tell us about that.
Well, I have always wanted to learn how to hunt. It's part of what I see as a promoting a sustainable lifestyle, just understanding where our food comes from, connecting with our food. We're just so, distanced from what we eat now, and that includes vegetables, too. A lot of people don't know vegetables come out of the ground.
they come from the supermarket, right? That section over on the left.
And meat comes wrapped in cellophane in the freezer section or the refrigerated section. So I wanted to learn how to hunt, but I didn't have any opportunities to do that. Nobody in my family hunts. None of my friends hunt. None of my uncles, brothers, grandparents, nobody. So I ran across an opportunity given by Colorado Parks and Wildlife. It's called Women Afield. And it's for women like me who want to learn to hunt and have no mentors. So CPW will take you out and teach you everything you need to know. I think they have one for deer hunting, also for elk hunting. This one happened to be for turkeys. I figured I'd start with birds. They don't have furry faces and cute eyes like deer do, so I thought I could maybe shoot one of those, and I did. And it was a great experience just learning how to do it. It's not an easy task. It's not something you just go out with your gun and blam, shoot a turkey. There's a lot to it that I didn't know. So part of my, my learning experiences through life have been to go back to the past and see what people did before. Particularly in this valley, a lot of people came here from the east and farmed and hunted and raised animals and things here. And I wanted to learn if we could still do that, just in case we ever need to know how. I'm a bit of a doomsday prepper, so this is part of my preparing for something that could happen. Hopefully it never will. My philosophy is hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
That seems like a fair philosophy. speaking of looking backwards, tell us a little bit, the Historical Society, to my understanding, has been in flux since the potential mill levy and not quite special district, but the special funding for local historical societies was shot down last fall. What's going on over there?
Well, we're keeping it together. We have a small board. Our president, Lou Ron Thompson, just stepped down from that position. Our vice president, Daryl Munson, just stepped down from that position. Our director, Beth White, has left her position because we can no longer afford to pay her, actually. Mm-hmm. So there's just a small core group now of board members. We're looking for new board members. If anybody's interested in becoming part of the Mount Soapers Historical Society, we could always use some new blood and new energy. But we're keeping it together. We're hanging in there. We're going to be having some events coming up. And one of the events, the first events we'll have, is a gardening workshop, Heritage Gardening, which I started the Heritage Garden at the Historical Society for the purpose of learning how the pioneers grew their food here and what kind of foods they could have grown and how they preserved them and how they saved the seeds. And I want to teach that to our community. So we'll be having some events, and of course, those will appear in your wonderful newspaper.
Well, I certainly hope so. if folks want to get involved, either as volunteers or as board members, how do they get in touch with the Historical Society at this point?
Yeah, right now it's a little difficult because we're kind of juggling our Facebook page and our website and who's going to be monitoring those things. But you can always get in touch with the people at the town of Carbondale, and they can pass on messages to us.
Okay, sounds great. Sue, you were looking through the paper earlier, and something caught your eye. What was it that was of interest to you out of this week's edition?
Oh, that was the article about the arrest, I guess, of the leader of the Unitarian Universalist Church here in Carbondale. I haven't read the article yet, but the headline definitely caught my eye, and I do want to find out more about that.
Okay, well, luckily we have the reporter who looked into that and made some calls and even knocked on some doors earlier in the week to get that story to us. Megan, what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, John Colson gave us that tip, and then...
You're not supposed to out your sources, Megan.
Just kidding. He did say ambiguous or anonymous, right? You never claimed off the record. No, I'm just joshing with him because I can't believe he didn't include me on that tip. So, no, I was able to get a hold of Shauna in D.C., and by the time we finished up a phone interview, it was midnight in Washington, D.C., and she was still energetic and eloquent and I think still buzzing from the energy on it. But she described she had gone to Washington, D.C. for the launch of the Poor People's Campaign, which got all kinds of international coverage, and hundreds of people were arrested in Washington, D.C., as a matter of fact. But it is a pickup from an idea that Martin Luther King Jr. had in 1968, actually. That's sort of the seedling of this movement, and now it's being re-energized. And she went out there. There's actually a pastor whose name I am forgetting, of course, but he kind of is the leader of that movement. And so there's a lot of clerical leaders who are feeling like, you know what, it's time, like this is no longer moral. The just disparities in income and lifestyles and quality of life that people are able to maintain in this country is no longer moral. And so there are a lot of religious leaders in this country who are acting out on it. And so the launch on Monday, on Monday, May 14th, is the first Monday of 40 Mondays in which there will be demonstrations and civil disobedience. And Shauna went out to do that, and she was not in her robes, actually, although she certainly has been in the past. She was out there as in her role as a U.S. veteran at that time. And so there are a list of demands. They are very, very organized in their campaign. There were so many demonstrations happening at the exact same time in state capitals all over the country. And so the demands combine all sorts of progressive causes, and she was out there protesting militarism and, you know, was just citing some of the numbers. You know, 10 million people have been displaced because of war since, you know, September 11th, 9/11 in 2001. And so she was out there protesting that particular cause, and they wanted to go and get their demands heard on Independence Avenue, which apparently requires an appointment, and they did not have an appointment. So the police were ready for arrest. They had set up what Shauna described as like little cattle pens in a park, and they just had everybody in groups of 12 just kind of packed in their little pens with, you know, police officers out front with their IDs and just processing tickets. And Shauna described it as the most polite arrest she's ever been through. At one point, police were handing out LaCroix. You know, somebody had heart palpitations, and I guess there were like half a dozen doctors that were there within minutes. Everybody was very careful. There was an intention. Everyone knew how it was going to go. And that's not always the case. One of the things I found really interesting talking to her was she said, you know, it was so quote unquote nice being arrested in the nation's capital because, you know, these police, that's their dedicated job, is mm-hmm. to look over the national monuments. And so they're used to demonstrators and protesters, and they're very cognizant of the human rights afforded to those protesters. That was not her experience in 2010 when she was in Arizona.
I am shocked to hear that.
Shocked, I tell you.
I found it interesting to read her comments and look back. I was living in Washington, D.C. when the Poor People's March, the original one, happened.
Oh, wow.
And polite arrests were not part of the deal then.
Mm.
They rounded people up with clubs and cattle prods and threw them all into RFK Stadium. My sister was one of them.
Oh, wow.
One of the arrestees. And there were shortages of water, food, medical attention. It was dismal and grim way back then. So I'd say that the D.C. police at least have learned a valuable lesson.
Sounds like, well, and that was one of the reasons why I chose the angle I did for the story. I wanted, you know, per usual, I wanted 2,000 words to write this, but I thought it's so, the timing is so poignant right now with the discussion of, you know, the relationship police have with their communities. And it was sort of refreshing to hear her tale in this case. And she really did emphasize over and over again that, you know, no, we're not against the police. We're against the real power behind these actions that the police are enforcing. And it doesn't have to be as contentious as it is. And so I thought, you know, this is worth contributing to the conversation.
And interestingly enough, there are those who believe that Martin Luther King was assassinated because he was sort of expanding from his original mission of trying to right the racial injustice in this country. And he was getting pretty revolutionary. He was coming out against the war in Vietnam. He was coming out against the corporatization of America and income disparity, all those things. And he was obviously starting to piss off the wrong people.
I'm not sure that that's a you're giving us an incentive to get behind those things if that's the reason there.
Well,
but
I guess if say you were to achieve the status of a Martin Luther King, you might have reason to worry.
I'm really not concerned about that myself. By the way, this is Katie and Kay, 35 years young, thanks to membership support from people like you. Tune into underwriting on Katie and Kay is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with Katie and Kay's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at katieandkay.org. You are listening to Everything Under the Sun, a little half hour chat with the Soper Sun and our contributors and our sources. We're moving right into Ask the Vet in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Again, with me in the studio, John Colson, Sue Gray, and Megan Tackett. This is a call-in show, so if you have anything to say about this week's paper, feel free to give us a ring, 963-2976. Anything else, John? You've had a chance to look through the paper. Anything stand out to you? I'm curious how this stuff strikes those of us who haven't been working on it all week.
Well, I thought it was chock full of good stories. And I'm staring at the page with the TRUU Reverend Arrest story on it. And I noticed that one of the ads by First Bank.
Oh, my.
Oddly enough, has a guy standing there with a picture of a sandwich bag in his hand saying, "I reuse plastic bags." And I like that at least some parts of corporate America are starting to kind of climb on the e-bandwagon, the environmental bandwagon, and urge people to do things like don't just throw plastic away because it ends up doing vast amounts of environmental harm, from landfills to the oceans where they have these things called gyres made up mostly of plastic trash that are as big as many states in this country. And nobody knows what's going to happen with all that trash.
Mm-hmm.
So I was heartened by seeing that ad.
You know, I appreciate that, John, because we don't often talk about our advertising here on the show. They're a huge part of both what keeps the paper afloat. If you read our report, that's it's about 80% plus of our income, and but also they're a service. There's information in there that if you just skim our editorial content, you're not necessarily getting. And usually they're not the talk of the town, but those First Bank ads in particular, I have had more comments on than I have heard from most advertising campaigns. They are definitely an interesting artifact, and if people are talking, then you've probably got something successful happening there.
Sign of a good ad.
Yeah. So,
I was also impressed by your story about the Ogilvy family and their multi-generational swimming stuff.
That was a fun one. I did get to catch up with three of the generations. The first generation was a little bit distant there, given that he was a champion back in the 30s. But it's cool. It's kind of also a circular situation where, instead of it being, each successive generation does it just because their parents did, they've sort of, especially the intermediate generations, kind of put it down. KO and Chuck had done it and called it good, and then the youngsters, the 12-year-old and the 9-year-old, get into it, and it re-inspires them and it reinvigorates them, and Chuck won several first place national awards in mostly backstroke competition in his age bracket just this last weekend, which was kind of the impetus to do the story now. But that was, again, I totally agree, it was a fun one to get to do, and I had three separate people send me tips for that over the weekend, so there was no way I was getting away without doing that story.
I have a question about the story.
Sure.
In the picture here, it shows our Carbondale Recreation Director, Eric Brenlinger.
Mm-hmm.
How does he fit into this?
I don't know, because I did the story and then I got all the pictures sent to me. So that's a good question for Eric. When next time we talk, Eric, I'm gonna put that to you. I know.
I'm gonna ask him too. What are you doing there?
What are you doing swimming Alcatraz? That's a thing that we should be picking on you about. Good question and well spotted. So, you know, another just quick story that I did this last week with plenty of help, thanks for Trina Ortega, is Bonedale Bike Week. If you don't know that it's Bonedale Bike Week, you should probably inform yourself, because there is a just laundry list of events coming up here, from bike jousting to parties to a kids' safety event to you know, bike polo, and it doesn't start on Sunday. It starts I think today or tomorrow, and then goes through next Thursday when it wraps up with this bike scavenger hunt around town. So many events, not just fun events, opportunities to get involved in trail work and build some things and improve the Prince Creek situation, which has kind of been in flux, and there's been a lot of effort to make work nicely and have adequate parking and encourage people to ride up from town if they can, because there's really no such thing as completely adequate parking for that particular amount of demand. That's on page
five.
Yep. See, I gave it priority right there. So that was, you know, I don't know that was quite as heartwarming or inspiring a story as hanging out with the Oglebys. But it is, it's something you might check out if you ever spin around on two wheels.
And it generated a question in my mind. What do they use for the lances in bike jousting?
I'm looking forward to finding that out. I'm hoping that they are not metal. I'm hoping that there's maybe, you know, I have pool noodles in my head as the best thing there. The other thing that's interesting to me is, you know, Shauna, if she gets back, she's historically done this blessing of the bicycles thing. I did not hear about that. She may not be.
She didn't mention that, but she did say that she's planning on being back by Sunday.
Okay. Well, we'll see if that happens. Hopefully we can get the word out if it does. But she may have a bigger fish to fry at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny. She had a sermon prepared in case she wasn't going to be back, and it was going to be, you know, just impassioned, like, fight the power. And then she had this like lovely LaCroix handout kind of arrest that she's changing her tone a little bit.
Maybe that's what they're after.
Right.
It's hard to fight the power if they're nice to you. Yeah. So, you know, certainly when I'm calling up Gene and saying, hey, there's six pot plants in Gene Schilling, the police chief, there's six pot plants downtown. And he's going, yeah, we'll look into that.
He said it's Carbondale.
They're not there.
Yeah.
They're not there now.
No, they've been pulled. They're you know, it's technically illegal to have
maybe
unsecured.
It was hemp. It might have been hemp and not marijuana.
If it was hemp, there are certain people I would be asking questions about.
It wasn't me. Okay. It could have been somebody else who's into hemp.
That's true. Sue, yet another hat, is one of the big proponents and
Colorado Hemp Education Association.
Thank you for that. I didn't remember the name of the organization, so you can find that out. One more piece of pretty interesting breaking news I'd like to get out there is the new vice principal at Roaring Fork High School, Zoe Stern, is up. Or Zoe, I actually haven't had a chance to chat with her yet. We just did kind of a brief write-up on her in Scuttlebutt, but rest assured that we'll be catching up with her before the next school year to really introduce you to that. Megan, anything else in this week's paper that struck you? We got about a minute and a half left before we get ready to turn things over.
Oh, we had all kinds of things in this paper. I loved it. I love, since you mentioned the high school, I loved catching up with the three guys heading to state and track and learning more about that. And you know, RFHS has their drama club now. They've got a program and they are debuting their first ever production. So that was great. I love that we have our little Katie and Kay page on page 15. We've got Amy Haddon Marsh's first debut on our pages anyway. And then Katie Dahl, Gavin's charming wife, right underneath her, on the same page together. So that made me smile.
Yeah, you know, I like that. And also, it's kind of became our outdoor and regional nature page there with Sue on one side and stories on Mustangs and Muscles on the other. So if you're getting ready for summer, there's lots of information there about ways you could get involved and things not to do, like bringing invasive species into our reservoirs.
Right.
You know, I often ponder what would happen if we didn't have this newspaper. How would I know where to go? And how would I know what's going on with my neighbors in my community? I feel like I would be completely in the dark if we didn't have this newspaper. I mean, we gotta keep it going, people. And we need this paper.
Well, thank you, Sue. That is a wonderful endorsement and a wonderful place to leave our little time here. Thank you all for being here. Megan, John, and Sue.
Thank you so much.
All right. Next up, talk to the vets or ask the vet. Yep. See, Raleigh's training me. All right. Thanks for listening in. Hopefully there are people listening in. And if not, I'm sure you'll be tuning in for the vets. Have a good day.